Okay, fun seekers, do we have a treat for you? Because we are going to do our best to explain to you how the fees, how you're being charged when you invest in a mutual fund. And it is anything but easy to comprehend, as we shall see. And so I'll do my best not to go off on tangents, such as skewering the life insurance industry. But, you know, you never know. I might throw a jab in there every once in a while. What I would suggest to you is you have some kind of sheet of paper to write down the different share classes as we go along, because it gets a little scary, a little tedious. But once you go through it a few times, you go, oh, okay, I understand. Oh, I see what they're doing here. Yeah, okay, and this is how they're charging me. Okay, so let's get started on slide 21 with the annual operating expenses. And these are certainly the most important. We'll discuss the sales load in just a minute. But the annual operating expenses are where, over the long term, you're going to spend your most money. So the largest part of the annual operating expenses is typically the management fees. The management fees are the yearly charge. Is this working? Yeah, there it goes. Isn't that cute? That is anywhere from 0.25% to 2% based on a percentage of the fund's asset value. That's the money that is paid to the portfolio managers, the analysts who make the investment decisions. And as we said in our previous presentation, it's not a trivial task. It is not easy. It is, if you do it right, in my humble opinion, it's a time-consuming and expensive proposition, because these people are highly skilled, highly trained, and some of the best in the business. And then they got to go around the world now, because the world is global, and decide upon who to invest in. So it's an expensive proposition if it's done well. And what does this mean? As we said before, 0.25% means for every $100, that's 25 cents. 2% means for every $100, that's $2. And that's charged every year. Now, many, but not all, mutual funds have what are called 12B1 fees. Huh? What a silly name. Well, this is the annual fee to defray the advertising, servicing, and distribution costs of the fund. And it can be up to 1%, but it's typically less, depending on which shares you choose, which class shares, which we'll discuss in a few moments. So, what do you think? Does Coca-Cola have to tell you how much they're paying in advertising and servicing and distribution costs? Does your bank or your credit union or your life insurance company have to tell you that? No. But the mutual fund company does, courtesy of the Investment Company of Act of 1940, and it is found in the prospectus. Do you think anybody reads the prospectus? No. But it's there, and that's why you, dear students, are going to take a look at the prospectus and the annual report, and you're going to be able to tell your friends and family and coworkers and yourself how much this fund is charging you for their advertising, for their servicing, their distribution. And then the third one, which is usually fairly small, is the accounting and other expenses category. This category is what you would think it is, paying for the lights and, you know, the utilities and the rent and the computer systems and the accounting and all that other expense stuff that really is important, but it's not doesn't go into actually making decisions on the basis of who to invest or what to invest in. Now, we have a little line here, and that's because a trustee fee is not always in your mix. If you have a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA or some other type of qualified, that's what the IRS calls them, tax-qualified account, you really don't hold on to the funds. A trustee holds on to the funds for your behalf. And don't worry, they're not going to run away. away with your money. But that's because the IRS requires you to have a trustee to hold on to your money. And they get charged typically, $10 or I've seen up to $30, $35 a year. And nowadays, you don't even see the fee. They just tack it on and they don't even tell you. But older companies will let you send in a check and pay for it separately. And then you can actually deduct that off of your taxes. Or still can you? Maybe not anymore. They changed the rules. Maybe not anymore. So that's it's $10. So, big deal, right? And what most people do is they just let the trustee take the money out of the account. They don't even know, or they don't care, because it's $10, you know. Okay, so those are the annual operating expenses, and they're very important. But now let's take a look at the trading costs on slide 22. The trading costs are not disclosed in the annual prospectus. So how does an investor know how much the trading costs are? Well, you can actually ask the mutual fund, but you don't have to. What you do is look at the annual turnover, and that tells you a good idea of if they're going to have high trading costs or lower trading costs. And it's not that big a percentage of most mutual funds, but still. The annual turnover is something we also like to know, because that tells you how much trading the mutual fund is doing. So the annual turnover, as we see, is a measure of how much trading the mutual fund does, and it's measured in the percentage of the amount a portfolio turns over each year. So what does that mean? If it has 100% turnover, that means within 1 year, 100% of the securities in the mutual fund will have been bought and sold. If it has a 50% turnover, it will take 2 years. 25%, 4 years. See what's going on here? The higher the turnover, the higher the trading costs. And it gives you an idea of whether they're investors or speculators. Because if you see a growth fund with a 200% turnover, that means they're holding on to their stocks for 6 months. That's not investing. In my humble opinion, that's speculating, trading. They're not owning a stock. They're renting it. They have no intentions of becoming a partner with that company over the long term. So I look personally for mutual funds that invest in stocks which have a 20-25% turnover, maybe a little bit more depending on, you know, if they're more growth oriented, more aggressive, a little less if they're more value oriented. And why is that 25% a number so important to me personally? Well, that means they're holding on to a stock for about 4 years. And some, obviously, they'll hold on longer, and others they'll realize, you know, I mean, it wasn't such a great idea. And why is three, four, 5 years such a great, attractive, in my humble opinion? We're going to see that when we actually get to valuing stocks. Because your time horizon in stocks, you know, it can't be that much more than that. You can't see that far. You can barely see the next 6 months. But we're going to see techniques that allow us to look out over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years. And we'll continually, of course, update that and decide, you know, it's time to sell. Or maybe, you know, let's keep this stock. This is a great stock to hold on to. Now, a little note. You look at a money market fund and you'll see 300% or 100% turnover, and you'll say, what's going on here? 288%. Well, remember, short-term investments, typically 3, 6, 9 months, well, they have to turn it over. They have no choice, because the securities mature, and then they have to go out and buy new ones. So if it's a money market account and you see a high turnover, don't be surprised. Don't be upset. Maybe even a short-term bond fund, you see a high turnover. No, it's just that comes with the territory. All right? So that's what we're looking for when it comes to turnover. Now, the eternal debate, the endless debate, load fund or no load fund? Well, currently, load funds have a bad reputation, and the folks on the television and the internet, the pundits, the self-proclaimed experts, will tell you you should never buy a load fund. Well, where did the load, the sales charge, the sales commission come from? Well, this was the commission that was used to compensate the financial representative. along with the fund distributor. So the mutual fund took some of the commission, and then the financial representative, the broker, the stockbroker, the financial advisor would get the rest, and then, of course, they'd have to split it with their company. So along the lines, some companies, some mutual fund companies, decided to go it alone. They decided to sell directly to the shareholders, and they started, this is 1960s, 70s, offering no-load funds. All right? Well, now, wait a minute. Shouldn't a no-load fund do better than a load fund? Well, it depends what the annual operating expenses are. Sure. If a no-load fund has large annual operating expenses, it can wind up costing you more than the load fund. And then the returns, that's something completely different, which we'll take a look at later on. So what happened is, slide number 24 now, is originally there was only one class. We keep referring to this share classes. So now this is where it's going to get a little hairy, folks. Write this down, because I'm going to hold you to it, too. I want you to understand this. Because remember, you're going to be the investment guru for your friends and family and coworkers, and it is a very important, a weighty responsibility that you can't forego. You are now charged with being the expert. So the original shares were the Class A shares. They didn't call them Class A shares. They just were the shares, and they came with a front-end load. A sales charge, a sales commission. The commission was paid when the shares... Whoops, what's going on here? The commission was paid when the shares were... Oh, what am I doing? It's supposed to... There it goes. Me and technology, we don't get along too well. The commission was paid when the shares were purchased, and they would normally have lower annual operating expenses. Well, brokers are not stupid. And they see that they have to go up against these no-load shares. So they started creating a second class called Class B, which is not too popular anymore, as we'll see. The commission is paid when the shares are redeemed. So if you remember B, back-end load. So they had a back-end load. And so you would say to your broker, well, what difference has it made? Oh, relax. Most back-end loads have what's called a contingent deferred sales charge. Isn't that a great name, contingent? I love that word. It feels good when you say it, contingent. Say it. You'll feel a little in your lower mouth area, larynx area. Contingent deferred sales charge. What did that mean? Well, the first year it might be 5%. If you took your money out within the first year, they'd charge you 5%. The second year, 4%. Third year, 3%. And then till finally the contingent deferred sales charge, the back end load, disappears. All right. Well, what's the catch? There's always a catch. What happens is they increase the 12B1 fees. So in other words, they've amortized, which is a fancy word meaning stretched out, the fee through the 12B1 fees. And we're going to see that in a few moments when we take a look at some real-life examples. And eventually, the Class B shares will revert to Class A shares. So you'll get those lower annual operating expenses. The 12B1 fees will disappear. Are you confused yet? It's going to get worse. Sorry. So write these down, because now let's take a look at slide 25, and these are the Class C shares. These were the broker no-load funds. Wait a minute. No. The brokers would offer them and say they were no-load funds, and the Securities and Exchange Commission came in and said, no. All you're doing is spreading out the load over years. You're amortizing it. So you cannot say that it's a no-load fund. And if we read at the bottom, we'll see where the SEC made this stipulation. The Securities Exchange Commission now says that you cannot call a mutual fund a no-load fund if the 12B1 fee is greater than 0.25%. Huh? You see how complicated it can get? In other words, they didn't want the load to be hidden inside the 12B1 fees, which we're going to see. Just hang on a minute. We're going to see that. So these Class C shares, which are now no longer allowed to be called no load, have no front end or back end charge. Well, typically they'll hit you with 1% if you take the money out within a year, but you're not going to do that. It's a long-term investment. You're going to hold on to it, please, at least for 3 or 4 or 5 years or longer if you've chosen well. However, many Class C shares have higher annual operating expenses in perpetuity. You love that word? I love that word. Perpetuity. You get to spit on your friends when you say it. Or for a long time, 10 years. Again, through those 12B1 fees. Hence, the Class C shares can wind up costing you more than the Class A or the Class B shares. So, as we said, the Securities and Exchange Commission said, no. You cannot call these no load. They are load. It's just that the load is spread out over time. Okay, so the industry is not stupid. They have to come up with another way of soaking their clients. I'm sorry. Charging for investment for financial services.
And so what did they come up with? Slide 26. The financial advisor classes, Class F, Class I for investment advisor, they are shares that are held in a wrap account or a management account or sometimes called a wealth management account. We're not your brokers anymore. No. We're your wealth managers. And so, sure, you don't pay any commission. You get lower annual operating expenses, but the advisor adds 1 to 2% to manage the account. Well, dear students, you can wind up spending a whole lot more with a wealth management account in fees over the long term than just paying the upfront commission. But that's the way the industry is working now. I'm a bit of an old curmudgeon in that respect because I don't think they're in the best interest of my clients, so I don't have them use it. We have an ancillary presentation that I hope you'll take a look at that shows you the effect, especially with a large investment. Because when you're starting off with $50 a month, it doesn't really matter over the long term. It gets after several years, it starts to matter. But for the first several years, it's sort of they cancel one another out. But it's when you have a seriously large account that these wealth management fees are just outrageous. But that's me. Remember, I'm a bit of an odd duck in that I teach this stuff. I consider myself an instructor first, a broker second, but I love both things. And so you're going to hear other things from wealth managers, from brokers, and telling you how stupid Payano is. Okay, so take a look at that ancillary presentation of the effect of the wealth management fees. Now, the next category is what is often called true no-load funds. Now, that's not a legal term. That's just what the industry, the financial media, calls them. You don't want to deal with a broker? Just buy my book. Listen to me. I know what I'm doing. The mutual fund company deals directly with the public. Again, there's that SEC rule that they cannot have a 12B1 fee that's greater than 0.25%. And these are the darlings of the popular media. Who needs a financial advisor? Bypass the middleman. Well, in some cases, yes, especially if you're a student of Business 123 Introduction to Investments and you're taking the time and the energy and you have the wherewithal and you actually enjoy this. Sure, you don't need a broker. You could be your own financial advisor. But in my humble opinion, the vast majority of people really do benefit from having a financial advisor, if only to have somebody to call when the market tanks. I call it my talk them off the ledge call. That's when I believe, as a financial advisor or broker, whatever you want to call us, I earn my money when things go badly. because they will. We know that they're going to happen. We don't know when, but we know they're going to happen. And that's when people really make a bad decision. That's when they tend to run for the hills. And if you have somebody to bounce that off of, I believe that's worth the extra commissions, wealth management fee, whatever. And there are studies that show that people who have an advisor actually do better over the long term. Although some people dispute those studies and say, well, that's the industry saying you need us. But no, it's one of them was done by a very prestigious professor, Robert Shiller, who is a Princeton guy, and he's well known and well respected. So check him out. And remember, as we said, you got to look at those annual operating expenses. A no-load fund with higher operating expenses could wind up costing you more than a load fund with lower operating expenses. Okay, so by now you're thoroughly confused. No, you're not. Go back A, B, C, and then F or FI or I shares. Okay, so because now we're going to take a look at a real-life mutual fund. This is AB. What a dumb name. They don't say AB, they say AB, Large Cap Growth Fund. And this is the company that used to be Alliance. Alliance almost died when two people, as we said in the previous presentation, were involved in the shenanigans of the early 2000s. And it then merged with a company called Samuel Bernstein. And so they called them Alliance Bernstein. But I guess people didn't like that name. So now they call them AB. And they're actually a very good company. They have some great funds. And here's one of their better funds, the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. Now, they have the A shares. Notice the B shares are now closed to new investors. So they've gotten rid of the B shares. Turns out the B shares were not too popular, so they've gotten rid of those. They still have the C shares, and they don't call their advisor class F shares. They just call them advisor class. So those are the shares that are sold by the advisors who then tack on their 1 or 2%. Notice they have an upfront fee of 5.25% for the Class A shares. And then here are the annual operating expenses. So the annual operating expenses start out at 51 basis points. That's the term you're going to hear, 0.51%, 51 basis point. Every basis point is 0.01%. And so that's about 50 cents for every $100 you have in the account. And then they have the 12B1 fees, the 25 cents for every $100, and then the 13 cents for the other expenses. So forever, after you paid the 4.25%, you're going to be paying 89 cents for every $100 you have in the account. And does that sound like a lot of money? Well, traditionally in the mutual fund industry, it's not. Anything below 1% was actually a pretty decent annual operating expense. However, nowadays we're going to see that there are mutual funds with much lower expenses. Why? Hang on a minute. There's always a catch, right? There's always a trade-off. And it's far less than what your bank or your life insurance company is charging you. And in fact, if you went into your bank or your life insurance company and asked them, what are the annual operating expenses on the money I have invested with you? They'll look at you funny and go, we don't know. And they'll probably give you the phone number of somebody who may know, who probably won't know. And he or she will probably give you the phone number of somebody. And finally, you get to somebody who'll know and won't want to tell you because they're not required to. They don't have the Investment Company Act of 1940 telling them to show your shareholders how much you're charging them. So you can go into the prospectus and see these share classes and how much they're charging. But you can't do that at your life insurance company. Notice the Class B shares. They have no upfront fee, with a maximum deferred sales charge. There's that contingent deferred sales charge of 4%. So after you take the money out in the first year, and then it goes down to 3%, 2%, 1%. So if you go to your broker and say, well, you know, Ms. Broker, Mr. Broker, I really don't want to pay that upfront fee. What are they going to say? No problem. That's how it works, folks. No problem. For you, we have the Class B share. We don't have them anymore. People got tired of them. But you don't pay an upfront fee. You pay a back-end fee. What difference does it make, Ms. Broker? Well, relax. It's a contingent deferred sales charge. And it starts off at 4%. And then next year goes down to 3, 2, 1. And after 4 years, you don't pay any sales charge. You see, it's always no problem. And you're not going to, you're in it for the long term, right, Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Investor? You're going to hold on to your money for, oh, yes, Ms. Broker, we're long-term investors. Okay, fine. Let's go with the B shares. So the B shares have that same management fee, 0.51%. But, you see what happened here with the 12B1 fees? Right. They raised the 12B1 fee, and I think for Alliance it's 6 years. For 6 years to pay for the broker's fee, right? Because they're not stupid. You know, they got to get paid somehow. And then the annual other expenses are 0.17%. So for 6 years, you're going to pay almost an extra 1%, not quite, like what, 80.8% or so over what you pay with the Class A shares. So that's about, you know, almost 5% or so. So you wind up spending more with the Class B shares. Mm-hmm. So you go to your broker. I don't want to pay an upfront fee. I don't want to pay a back-end fee. Who knows? I might want to take the money out in a year or so or move it around. And what does your broker say? No problem. There's always no problem. For you, we have the Class C shares. Bobby, sit down. Have a cup of coffee. Here, no upfront fee. A 1% fee if you take the money out in a year. But look, it's a mutual fund. You're not going to do that. Don't do it. Don't go into a mutual fund unless it's money market that you're going to be taking the money out within a year. That's a bad choice. So good. You're not going to do that. And then there's the 50 cents, 51 cents for every $100. And then there's the 12B1 fee, $1 for every $100. And I forget how long Alliance does that. I think Alliance does it for 10 years. Other expenses, so $1.64. You're paying $1.64 for at least 10 years. You think you're going to want, yeah, right, you're going to wind up spending more with the Class C shares. In fact, if an investor wants the B shares or C shares, you have to get them to sign a waiver or initial a waiver that they have been apprised of the situation, that they're going to wind up over the long term spending more with the Class B or C shares. Of course, if they have every intention of taking the money out within a year or so, then they shouldn't buy the Class A shares because they're paying the 4.25%. But again, it's a mutual fund. It's designed to be long term. So you go to your broker, you say, Ms. Broker, I don't want to pay that upfront fee, I don't want to pay a back-end fee, and I want lower annual operating expenses. And what does your broker say? No problem! For you, we have the advisor class. We're not your brokers, no, no, no. We're your wealth managers. You see, you pay no upfront fee, no back-end fee. There's the management fee that the mutual fund uses to make its decisions, and there's no 12B1 fees. The other expenses are in line with the others. So 64 cents for every $100. These are sometimes called clean shares. I don't know why they call them that, because I guess they're stripped of the 12B1 fees. But this is what the advisor is going to show you. But the advisor's then going to tack on a 1 or 2% wealth management fee, assets under management. And you're going to, again, have to initial something saying that you've been apprised of the situation and you are understand that you're going to wind up spending more than if you had just gone with the Class A shares over the long term, which I think are the better choice. But again, I'm old school. I'm just old is a better way of describing it. Okay, so that was the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. Let's take a look at another similar fund called the New Economy Fund. It's a little bit more global. Large Cap Growth Fund is mostly United States, although they invest outside the United States also. And this one, again, has the Class A shares, but they've gotten rid of the Class B shares. They still have the class C shares, and they call their advisor class F3. They actually have F1, F2, F3. They're the most the cheapest. So let's quickly take a look, because they're basically very similar. They have a little higher upfront fee, maximum sales charge, but they have a little bit lower annual operating expenses. So over the long term, it kind of washes out. Notice that the Class B and C shares have those 12B1 fees that raise your amount for your annual operating expense. I think Class B shares in the new economy are 8 years, but they don't offer them anymore. Class C shares are 10 years. They hold on to them for 10 years, and then they remove the 12B1 fee, or they lower it. But notice, look at the clean shares, as they're called. 0.46. Wow, that's lower than we've seen so far. Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, these guys have a lower management fee, lower other expenses. But again, you have to tack on. I actually have seen now, but these are, you don't get a personal broker. I have seen, what was it? Was Wells Fargo? They were charging 0.5%. But you don't get a personal broker. You get a broker team or something like that. I'm thinking that's how it works. I have to be sure because it was very generic. They didn't tell you who the broker was. Normally, when you get a solicitation from a broker, a financial advisor, wealth manager, it's from an individual person who hand signs it. And remember, you're not going to get this putting $50, $100 a month away. These are people who typically have $500,000 or more to invest. Fisher Investments, he targets you if you have $500,000 or more. And I heard one guy, it wasn't firsthand, it was from a client who said, this guy said he doesn't take anybody who has anything less than $500,000, and he's going to up it to $750,000. And I said, great. They don't need your help. If you have $500,000 to invest, you're doing all right. I want to help the people who have $50 a month to invest. That's who I want to help, because they're the people who need to get started. Right. Okay, so this one is very similar to the previous one. Little different, and a little higher upfront fee, lower annual operating expenses, but very similar. Now let's take a look at a very infamous, used to be famous, and that's called the Legg Mason Value Trust. Well, actually, it's not called the Legg Mason Value Trust anymore. Now they call it the Clearbridge Value Trust. Why'd they change the name? We'll see why later. And they did not used to have the Class A shares. They used to have the Class C shares, and they called them the primary class. They then decided, well, you know what? We need help from the brokers, so we're going to institute the Class A shares, which have a similar charge to the one we just saw, 5.75%. That's the maximum. We're going to see that goes down over time. But notice there's annual operating expenses are the highest so far at 1.06%. The primary class, or this Class C they call them now, have a 12B1 fee of 0.95%. And of course, there's the maximum deferred sales charge. If you take the money out within 1 year, they're going to hit you with almost 1% like the others, but you're not going to do that because it's a long-term investment. So look, 1.74%. Yeah, now we're getting close, but we're not there yet. We're getting close to what the insurance companies charge. They're up in the 2, 3, 4% per year amounts. So we're not there yet. I'm a bit cynical. So I look at this and I say, look, the Securities and Exchange Commission says that if this 12B1 fee is greater than 0.25%, then you can't call it a no-load fund. So all you really have to do is take that, drop it down to 0.25%, and move the management fee up. Now, I'm sure the Securities and Exchange Commission realizes there are people who are cynical and probably has some kind of a provision where you can't do that, you know, that's for the management fee and that's what it has to be for. But that's what I thought of. Now, they have the financial advisor, FI shares, which are still, you know, even though they're no upfront fee, no back-end fee, 1.13%. And then you tack on the 1 or 2% that the advisor charges. Yeah, so these guys are charging you a lot more, well, more than what the other mutual funds we saw. Now, what about these institutional shares? Do you have to be institutionalized to get them? What is it going on here? No upfront fee, right? No back-end fee, and lower than all the other three classes, even though it's a little higher than some of the others. So what is that? We'll come back to the institutional class, but realize that you and I, we don't get to take advantage of those. Okay, so now, let's continue. So those were A shares, B shares, C shares, and then the FII shares. Let's take a look at something completely different. I'm an old Monty Python fan, and now for something completely different. The Vanguard 500 Index Fund, a very famous fund. No upfront fees, no back-end fees, and look at that management fee, 0.212%. And there's a $20 distribution fee, 12b1 fee, if your account is less than $10,000, unless you enroll in electronic delivery, which most people do nowadays. And the other expenses are 0.02%. So this fund is charging far less than all the others we looked at. Now, okay, how can they do that? Well, it's very simple. They don't do any research. It's called the Vanguard 500 Index Fund because it buys all the 500 stocks in the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. Now, we've already made mention of this thing, and we're going to mention it again over and over again, but we're not going to actually define it and take a look at it in detail until we get to Chapter 5, our next chapter. But just realize that it is a list of stocks. That is all it is. And so you or I could run this fund. You look up the list of 500 stocks, and if it's on the list, you buy it. And if it's not on the list, you don't buy it. It's that simple. There's a very famous term that I want you to remember, passive management. You see, the previous three mutual funds were actively managed. They had people going out and knocking on the doors of the companies and saying, I want to buy this company, I want to buy that company, I don't want to buy that company, it's time to sell this company. This fund doesn't do that. They just passively buy all the stocks in this in whatever index. This is just happens to be the most famous, the Standard & Poor's 500 index. They are usually true no-load mutual funds. Remember, the no upfront fee, no back-end fee. But sometimes people will sneak a mutual fund, an index fund, into your 401k plan, which has high fees. These usually have very, very low fees, as we're going to see. But there are some companies, insurance companies typically do this, but not always, will sneak in an index fund with high fees into your 401k. Who would do that? Southwestern Community College, for one. Now, the folks at Southwestern didn't understand what was going on. I kept jumping up and down and screaming and hollering it was actually nationwide insurance. I told you I wasn't going to bash the insurance companies, and I lied. I am. Nationwide on your backside snuck in this very high fee index fund into our 401k. And in the first meeting, the 401k meet, 403b, we have 403bs at Southwestern, they didn't realize that Yo Boy was in the ringer, was in the audience. And I raised my hand and said, what's going on here? This Galtmore, whatever it was, had 0.9%. You know, look at Vanguard's 0.14. Six times higher than what Vanguard was charging. How come that is? Why are you charging us? Why are you giving us one of these? Oh, don't worry, we're going to come up with a better one. They didn't. They came up with the nationwide Standard & Poor's 500 index fund, which had a little bit lower, but not much. It was like 0.68 or something like that, 0.70. So be careful. And that's why you are going to be so awesome, because in that 401k meeting, you're going to understand how you're being charged, and you're going to put that three-piece suit jerk with his BMW or his Porsche or whatever he's driving on the spot when you say, why are you charging us this much for an index fund when you should be giving us a Vanguard or a Fidelity index fund? and they're going to go, and then you're going to look like a genius, and all your friends and family and coworkers, and they're going to say, where did you learn how to do? And what are you going to tell them? Right. Business 123, Introduction to Investments at Southwestern Community College. You wash my back, I'll wash your back. You understand? Yeah. Now, why would you do this, right? Why would you go with an index fund? Well, hang on a minute. We're going to come back to that later. But it turns out that many actively managed funds don't do as well as the index, their respective index. But many do, and they're the ones that I'm interested in, and we'll take a look at those later on. But there's some research that started way back in the early 1970s, late 1960s, that we'll come back to. So here is another, slide 31, another index fund. It's from Fidelity. Let's read together. Vanguard pioneered the low-fee mutual funds and was able to overtake Fidelity as the number one mutual fund company. Fidelity had been the number one company for decades. What did Fidelity do? Well, if you can't beat them, join them. Fidelity responded by eliminating all sales loads, creating their own index funds, and lowering their fees below Vanguard. In fact, Fidelity has a few index funds that are free. Huh? How do you make money by charging nothing? Well, it's you business and marketing folks. That's called the loss leader, right? The idea, get people in the door and then make it up in other ways. That's why Fry's will have a huge sale on some little piece of thing that they give away free almost, and they hope you come in and buy a large screen television. Look at the management fees. 0.015. 1.5 cents for every $100 you have. It's like limbo. How low can you go? Well, you can't go lower than free. And so, that's not the S&P 500 fund, though. That's it's another index fund. But, well, if you have economies of scale, which Vanguard, Fidelity have, then running these index funds doesn't cost much money at all. And if you can get them to buy other funds that are a little bit more pricier, a little bit more, or get them to buy and sell individual stocks because you also have a brokerage firm. It's not the same company, but it's a sister company. It looks like the same company. Yeah. Yeah. So now the industry, the actively managed industry is kind of going, oh, what are we going to do here? Remember the AB Large Cap Growth Fund? Well, if they don't do as well over their respective index, which happens to be the S&P 500, I forget over the time period they have to do as well, they will lower their fees to what an index fund charges. So they're saying, look, you know, we are better than the index, and if we're not better, we'll charge you what the index charges. How's that for a deal? And some people are, you know, some people are savvy and they respond to that, and other people don't even know what they're talking about. So it's an issue. So let's now take a look. So you see what's happening here. You have active management. It's going to cost you more. It should cost you more because it's an expensive endeavor to do, versus passive management, which is going to cost you less or should cost you less unless some jerks sneak in a high fee index fund into your 401k. Slide 32. Let's now take a look at what kind of dollars we're looking at. There's the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. And I don't know why they do, but they use $10,000. If you put $10,000 into the AB Large Cap Growth Fund with the A shares, after 1 year, your fees are going to be approximately $512. Well, remember, you had to pay the 4.25%. You had to pay $425 just to get in the door. But then, over time, the fees do not grow as quickly. Whereas the Class B and the C shares, the fees are lower over the shorter term, but they catch up by 5 years. And after 10 years, the B and the C shares actually wind up costing you more than the A shares. You see what's happening with that? If you're in it for the long term, it pays to pay that upfront fee. And you want to have an advisor, right? If you want to have an advisor. And it looks as though that the Class F shares are the cheapest, right? They look like the best deal. That doesn't include the advisor's annual fee. Adding the advisor's typical fee of 1% to 2% per year would easily add an additional $1,300, $2,600 to the total cost. So over the long term, which is the best deal? The A shares. If you feel you need the advisor's help. Oh, by the way, I've already made mention of this. Guess which shares are the most popular with the brokerage firms these days? Right, the F shares, the FI, the advisor class shares. And here we see basically the same thing with the Legg Mason Trust. The A shares cost you more in the short term, but over the long term, they wind up costing you less than the C shares. The financial intermediary shares, the advisor shares, wind up costing you less, but that doesn't include the advisor's annual fee. And the institutional class looks great, right? Well, how do you get them? For starters, are you a large pension fund, a university endowment, or a tax-exempt charity? Oh, and by the way, do you have at least $1 million to invest with us? No? Well, then, sorry, you don't get the institutional class. Slide number 34. Look at what the index fund charges you over time. Yes, the investor class, which is the one we looked at, is going to charge you a whole lot less than what the others charged you. And then there's another class now called the Admiral class, and that's the class that Vanguard is actually pushing you to use. They want you to use the Admiral class now. They don't want you to invest in the investor class anymore. They want you to go with the even cheaper one. So let's read together. The fees for passively managed index funds will almost always be less than actively managed, unless your 401k sneaks some high-fee index funds in there. Vanguard has closed the investor class and now wants investors to use the Admiral class with a minimum of only $3,000. Used to have to have $100,000 for the advisor class, and then it was $10,000 for the advisor class, and now they want a minimum of $3,000 and they'll give you the advisor class. Now, do you remember the exchange-traded funds, the ETFs? They often have fees lower than the index funds. So the ETF that tracks the total U.S. stock market for Vanguard has an expense ratio of 3 cents. And just recently, I think they're up to three now. I should check this. But Vanguard announced, as I said, I already mentioned this, two index funds, I think it's three, with zero annual fees. Now, how do they make money doing that? It's the loss leader idea strategy. Get people in the door with something free or incredibly low cost, and then hopefully they'll buy something else and you'll make up that freebie. Cool? Yeah. So if you believe that an index fund is for you, make sure you get the lowest price index fund you can find, because they're all basically the same, unless it's, you know, Uncle Jimmy's index fund and you don't so yeah, make sure it's somebody reputable, right? Okay, good. Okay, excellent. Now, we talked about those Class A shares as if 5.75% or 4.25% was what you paid always. And that's not the case. That's not the case. What happens is as you invest more or your account grows, your maximum sales charge is lowered. That's why they call it the maximum sales charge, because if you don't have at least $25,000 to invest, or if your account is less than $25,000, you pay that maximum sales charge on the new economy fund. But once you have more than that to invest, or your account accumulates more, then that sales charge goes down to 5%. When you hit $50,000, it's 4.5%. $100,000, 3.5%. 2.5, 2, 1.5, until finally, after your account has $1 million or you invest more than $1 million, you pay no sales charge. And this is where I believe the folks who charge that annual sales charge, I mean the annual wealth management fee, really screw over people with a lot of money. Because if you have $500,000 or $1 million, you're going to pay a whole lot less in the A shares, the sales charge, and a whole lot less. And then you're going to get lower annual operating expenses. So you're going to wind up spending a whole lot less if you just pay the upfront fee, right? Hopefully you'll take a look at that ancillary presentation. I mean, I want you to. That shows $500,000 if you paid the upfront fee, A shares, or if you go with the clean shares, the F3 shares, but then they charge one Fisher Investments. I picked on him for other reason, because he made some really stupid comments last fall, which got him in a lot of hot water. He was trying to be funny, but it was very, very inappropriate comment, misogynistic comment. And so you wind up spending a whole lot more with that wealth management fee. But hey, you know, that's what the industry is using now. And also what happened is as some investors would get close to this breakpoint here, their brokers would get them to use a different fund, a different company with a different fund, and then start all over again. Now, why would you do this? Maybe your one or two or three or five clients don't understand, but one of them is going to understand. And as soon as you do that, you should just leave the industry, because you obviously have no integrity. So now if you do that, if you fail to inform your clients of this sales charge breakpoint, you can lose your license. You're going to get fined. You could lose your license, and you should. In my humble opinion, it's theft. But be careful out there. There's a lot of integrity in the industry, and there's some not so people with integrity in the industry. Slide number 36 shows us the contingent deferred sales charge. I love that term, for the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. That we said started at 4%. This is for the Class B shares, which are gone. Then 3-1%. So that's that sales charge, that back-end sales charge that is lowered over time. And as we said, typically 4 or 5 years in the mutual fund industry. This same kind of surrender charge schedule is what you see from annuities in life insurance companies. Remember, you have to continue to hack away at life insurance companies. But they often start at 20%, 25%. Yeah, they call it a surrender charge. And so remember, never trust an insurance company with your investments. Are you exhausted yet? I know I am. But folks, I'm going to hold you to these. I'm serious. You got to know these. I'm pounding on the table. I don't know if you can't hear me. And so now that you know everything you know, I need to know about share classes, now let's take a look at the returns from these four funds. Slide 37. I'm going to give you $10,000 10 years ago. Okay? Not bad. How would you have done? Who would you have chosen? Now, realizing that we understand that the Class A shares are a better deal over time, so we're going to choose those if they were available. For the Legg Mason Value Trust, they weren't. You had the Class C, which was called the primary class. Or do you want to go with the abstemious? You like that word? It means cheap. Vanguard Index 500. Well, ta-da! You know, no matter who we've chosen, we've done pretty darn well. The Standard & Poor's 500 index did 13.56%, which is above its long-term average. And what is masked is that it was a small number of stocks in the Standard & Poor's 500 index that really exploded, the so-called fangs, the disruptive companies, whereas the old stodgy, sometimes called value companies, they have not done as well. And there's a bonus assignment that I want you to do. I hope you'll do it. It won't take you long, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty shows what's going on with the Standard & Poor's 500 index, which we'll come back to later on. So you've done pretty darn well. 13.56%. Remember, we tell people 8, 9, 10%. 36, almost 37,000. The index 500 can't match the index perfectly because, remember, there's those 0.14% fees. But you still did pretty well, 36 and some change. Now notice the AB Large Cap Growth Fund, a very well-run and exciting fund that is more poised toward growth, which has done very well over the last 10 years. They gave you 14.52%, and that was after you paid the A share fee commission. If you had the net asset values, if you had over $1 million, you actually got 15%. But if you had over $1 million, you're probably not taking Business 123 Introduction to Investments. Not shabby. Now, how about this guy, the New Economy Fund? Well, 12.47% is still very respectable. And if you had the net asset value, it was over 13%. But notice it trailed the S&P 500. So why did we even include it? Because here's an example of even 10-year periods are sometimes not indicative of what's going on in the marketplace. This fund has beaten the S&P 500 over decades. But this fund and other funds like it are more attuned to the downside, the risk in terms of in the market, which means they're more value-oriented. And we'll come back to these terms, growth and value, later on. But over the long term, they've beaten the S&P 500. But over the last 10 years, they trailed. And why is that? Because they were more conservative. It paid to be very aggressive these last 10 years. And so I believe that in the next 10 years, we might see more volatility on the downside, whereas companies like these guys will do better. But, you know, we'll know. Come back in 10 years, see how we do. Now, what happened to these poor gentlemen and ladies? The Legg Mason Value Trust, now called the ClearBridge Value Trust. They didn't do well at all. Well, still 9% ain't bad, but compared to the S&P 500, it's pretty poor. Well, this is an example of what can happen to a once high-flying famous mutual fund. If you had seen the results back in 2006 or so, this fund literally destroyed everybody else. And it was run by a gentleman by the name of Bill Miller. Now, who was he? We'll come back and talk about him later on when we talk about the all-stars of investing. But he beat the S&P 500 15 years in a row. Just unbelievable. And of course, you know, the gods are sometimes very cruel to people who were once the darlings of everyone. And he then just got clobbered in the Great Recession and just did really, really poorly. And his fund is still trying to catch up from that. He left in 2012. But he's still on the scene. He's still doing some stuff. So you can check out Mr. Bill Miller. So what's the takeaway? If we choose the index for good or ill, we're going to get the index. A little bit less because we have to pay, you know, a little bit of fees. And the lower the fees, the better in our index fund. If we choose an actively managed fund, we might do much better than the index. We might do much worse than the index. Or we'll probably follow the index fairly closely over time if it's a well-run mutual fund. Cool? Fees are important, but they certainly do not tell you the whole story. When comparing mutual funds, you must look at many attributes, not the least of which are the rates of returns, preferably over long periods of time. I like to look at how well they've done over decades. I know some people think I'm old-fashioned, and I am. I'm old. What is unusual about the last 10 years? Well, as we said, growth clobbered value. And if you go back over the long term, it turns out that they're basically equal over significantly, statistically significant 40, 50, 60 year periods. Whereas the last 10 year period has been one, the story has been growth, 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 and more growth. Cool. So now let's do a few slides where we check for comprehension. And as we said, we have these ABCD cards that we use in the face-to-face class. And, of course, we don't have them here, but you decide, of course, you printed it out, you see the answer. These shares do not have an upfront sales load. Instead, they assess a decreasing back-end load if you withdraw your money within 6 years. That surrender schedule, as it's called in the life insurance industry. The annual operating expense is higher, courtesy of the 12B1 fees. Are these the A, B, C, or F shares? Right, they are the B shares. Back-end load, B shares. They eventually, normally, revert to A shares after 6 or 8 years, and then you get the lower annual operating expenses. Slide number 39. These shares do not have an upfront fee and only a 1% back-end fee if you redeem them within 1 year. The advisor called them no load, but you notice that the annual operating expense is higher than other share classes, courtesy, again, of those ubiquitous 12B1 fees. You like that word, ubiquitous? It means everywhere. A, B, C, or the FII shares, FRI shares. These are the C shares, right. And they often revert to A or F after 10 years or so. So you don't pay it in perpetuity, that extra charge. And then finally, your advisor tells you that these shares have no sales fees, a very low annual operating expense. And then she then mumbles something of wealth management. These shares are the A, B, C, or are they the FRI shares? The correct answer is D. She also did her best not to explain to you that her brokerage firm will charge you an extra 2% each year. But they'll send you a bottle of wine on your birthday and take you to the steakhouse and the golfing, and so you'll love them. Ugh. Oh, by the way, when you go searching inside the prospectus, you will find that there are dozens of other share classes depending upon the mutual fund company. But don't worry, all of them are variations on these four main themes: upfront fee, back-end fee, extra fee for a certain number of years, and then the wealth management fee. Cool? Okay, so now, remember, we want you to be awesome. So that means you have to study, 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 bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College, and you are going to amaze your friends. You are going to be the investment guru for your friends, family, coworkers. You are going to be awesome. Okay, enough for the commercial, because it gets worse. In our next presentation, we are going to try to wrap our arms around the industry and take a look at the various types of mutual funds, stocks, bonds, balance, money market, and otherwise. And it turns out that there are dozens and dozens of different types. We're just going to take a look at the main types and find that, okay, this one is a little bit different. They've changed just a little bit. But again, you've got to study every day. We want you to be the best investors the world has ever seen. See ya.